prayers that you answer throughout the week, Lord, and throughout the years. And we're so grateful that you answer prayers. And what a great God you are, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts and our eyes and our ears will be open to your words this morning, and we might glean something from them. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, last week we saw a little about this woman in the book of Matthew. She's recorded to have anointed the head of Jesus here in the book of Matthew. And she anointed it with an oil that was in this alabaster box. And we saw through the corresponding passages in Mark and in John and in Luke that this is a very costly ointment. It's called spikenard. But we also saw who this woman's name was. Her name was Mary, and we see that in John 12, verses 3. We see that this is what her name was, and what she did is recorded in each of the Gospels, And what this woman is told did is told of her in each of the Gospels. And when Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John is preached in its entirety, you're going to find out about what this woman did. Okay? And Jesus said that hey, it's going to be told of her for a memorial. And that's going to be throughout the ages to come and for eternity, folks. Every time we get to see the book of Matthew, every time Jesus, and I don't know if he's going to preach, but every time he preaches out of the book of Matthew, we're going to hear about this woman. Every time he preaches out of the book of Luke, John, and Mark, we're going to hear about what she did. Okay? And it's going to be a memory for her, a memorial for her. And because why? God doesn't forget what people do for him. He does not forget. And he records it. And what this woman did for Jesus, she portrays a Christ-like attitude. She is Christ-like here. And what she does is in a Christ-like manner. This woman shows us what it is to be Christ-like. She does. And think about what this woman really did. What she really did. First of all, after she believed about what Jesus told his disciples, that he was going to die, right? She knew he was going to be buried. And what does she do? What does she do? She sacrificed, folks. She sacrificed. And I preached about this in a nursing home last week, but I didn't preach about it here. But I'll give you the lesson here a little bit here, a quick little lesson. She sacrificed. Last week we saw just how much this ointment costed that she poured out on Jesus' head, on his feet. We found out. In today's day, it's worth about $43,000. $43,000. Or 312 hour days worth of salary. That's what it was worth. Okay? Or you can measure it in time. 3,600 hours of time. Hey, money is all it is a measurement of time that we use to purchase things. It's just a medium of exchange, but it took time. It took time to get that medium of exchange. And so this woman, what she did was she sacrificed a lot of time, folks, for Jesus. And she poured it on his head and she poured it on his feet. But she didn't just give the anointment to Jesus and say, here you go, and walk away. No. She not only sacrificed for Jesus, but she served. She served Jesus, and by putting the ointment on him and washing him up before he was going to die, because she knew she wasn't going to get another chance. She did what she could. She did what she could. She served Jesus. And while she was serving, she suffered. She suffered for Jesus, okay? And she suffered the ridicule of others from Jesus' own followers. That's what she did. And she never mouthed off. She didn't talk back. She didn't try to defend herself. You look at the elections going on, and man, it's a doggy world out there, isn't it? Man, you see one person saying one thing about another, the other person defending himself, and retaliating. This woman didn't do that. She just served Jesus, and she sacrificed, she served, and she suffered for Jesus. And here's these men that was with Jesus for 3.5 years, hammering on her. And if you think about it, folks, what did Jesus do for us? What did he do for us? Go, if you would, in Philippians 2. You know, sometimes we teach here, it's a lot of boring stuff. But, man, when these lessons pop out, they're really, I don't know, they, you know, you ask, how could I preach this to somebody, Lord? And then he gives you, in 5 seconds you get it, you better have a pencil to write it down because you're going to forget it. But Philippians 2. The Bible says, this is what Jesus Christ did. But it says, let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so here we're going to see what it's to be Christ-like, be Christ-minded, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. There's the sacrifice, folks. He was in heaven. He made himself of no reputation. He sacrificed his status in eternity. Came down to the earth and was born of a virgin. And he wasn't born of some great kings. He had no reputation. Just a carpenter, right? There's a great sacrifice that Jesus did for all of mankind. And what did he do while he was on earth? He served. He served his fellow man. He served his fellow man. The Bible says, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And he went around healing, and he went around saving people. And the Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. He served. And the Bible says, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. What did that service cost him? His life. His life. He served his fellow man, and he suffered for it, folks. And he went to the cross. He gladly suffered for us. And that's an amazing thing. But just as this woman sacrificed and served and suffered, so did Jesus Christ. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sacrifice our time for Jesus, right? And we're supposed to serve Jesus. We're not just supposed to give him his time and just walk away. We're supposed to serve him. We're supposed to serve him. And when we do that, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's being Christ-like. And an amazing story what this woman did. And it should be told. It should be told. And we need to take heed to that story and learn from it. So now we're going to move on to some of the other things. Hey, what this woman did is recorded in the Bible. And so what Judas did is recorded in the Bible. And what Judas did is a bad thing. What this woman did is a good thing. And we're going to learn a little bit about devils this morning. Isn't that interesting? It's not a subject that we want to talk about, but hey, it's there, and we need to discuss it, or at least go through some of the scriptures. The Bible says, then one of the 12, verse 14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priests and said to them, what will ye give me and I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And so here we read about this Judas Iscariot. Here's a man that has a love for money. He has a love for money. And he doesn't have a love for the poor. We know that. John references that. John 12:6. You can see there, he does not love the poor. He loves money. He loves money. John 6. What do we got here? John 12:6. I'm sorry. John 12:6. What do we have here? The Bible says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was therein. He bare what was therein. Here's a man that has been with Jesus for about 3.5 years and has probably not even held the amount of money in his hand than what Mary poured out on Jesus' head and Jesus' feet. And here he sees this happen. Now imagine that. And probably the most money that he ever probably had in his possession was the 200 pence, as found in Mark 6:37. Here's Jesus. He's getting ready, I think it's to feed the 5,000. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's the 5,000, but we'll go look there. Mark 6, verses 37. Yes, the feeding of the 5,000. The Bible says in verse 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Now, if they had 1,000 penny worth, don't you think that they would have said that? Because here they say that it's not even enough to give them a little. So Judas, probably that's all the money he ever saw. And here's this woman in 3.5 years. And here's this woman, and she dumps it all on Jesus in one fatal swoop. Now can you imagine what this man is thinking? Especially a man that loves money. And so when he goes and he makes a deal, hey, what will you give me to betray this man? And they offer him 30 pieces of silver. Now that's a lot of money to Judas. I mean, we're talking silver, not pennies. Right? And so 30 pieces of silver, and I don't know how much that is. I didn't do the research on that. But it's got to be a substantial amount of money. More than pennies, penny worth, pences. Whereas this lady, and I'm spitting all over the place, I don't know why. But anyway, so it looks pretty good to him. We already know who this Judas is, right? We know who he is. He's Simon's son. And folks, if you love money, and you find a person always talking about money, and always talking about how he wishes he had money, and always talking about just money is everything on his mind. You be wary. Be wary. Because there may come a time where that person may betray. I'm just throwing it out there. There may come a time where that happens. And it's just, hey, the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And when that's on your mind constantly, I see people cutting people's throats. And when I say that, I'm not talking about a physical knife to a person's throat. But you might as well have. If somebody tries to cut you out of a position in a job, you might as well have just taken a knife and cut the man's throat and taken his life from him. Because in essence, that is what a person is doing. They're stealing somebody's life when they don't just try to work for it hard themselves, and they try to backstab and cut somebody out of a position in a job and take money out of their mouths and out of their family's mouths. so that they can stay in that position. Hey, working hard is long gone, folks. People don't do that anymore. People take the knife and cut your throat and try to cut you out of the position. And in a sense, that's what people are doing. So all I'm saying is, hey, for money, people will kill you for it. And it's going to come a time. And I hope we don't see it. I hope the Lord comes before we see it. But there is coming a time, folks, where that's what people are going to be doing here on this earth to be able to get things. Because things are getting bad, you know. I don't know if you're looking around, watching the news around the world, but things are getting bad in other places, and it just hasn't hit here yet. They're keeping it from hitting here as long as possible. And maybe because they see all the people that would uproar. I mean, you look at some of these people that go to these the Trump campaigns. There's thousands of people there, folks. I mean, we're talking in the 20s. And 30,000 people, like a football stadium's worth of people in coming to his rallies. And don't you think that the how can I say that here? The government. Don't you think that they're not, the people in the government aren't watching this? Hey, what are we expecting here if something were to happen here? Are we expecting an uproar with the people? And how many of them? So I'm not going to say any more about that, but there's coming a time, folks, where people will be, for money, will sell their families out. We know it's coming, tribulation time. There's coming a time where people are going to be making agreements with leaders so that they can stay alive and you die. And this happens. This is what Judas is doing. He's selling Jesus out for money so he can stay alive. And what happens to Jesus? Jesus dies. And so, there's nothing new here. It's gonna keep happening. But this man's name, his name is mentioned four times to whom he came from, or to whom his father is. Let's put it that way. His father is mentioned four times. Who his father is? The first is in John 6:71. John 6:71. The Bible says, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. There it is, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Okay? So he's the son of Simon. We see it once there. And we're going to see it again. John 12:4. John 12:4. I mean, there's a reason why it's mentioned four times here. And I don't know what the reason is, but that's who his father's name was. Okay, John 12:4. The Bible says, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." Okay, there's a second time. John 13:2. One page over. John 13:2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And John 13:26. Maybe it's not John 13:26. Oh, I'm in John 14:26. John 13:26. The Bible says, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon." Folks, is there any doubt that Simon's son was Judas Iscariot? There's no doubt, right? But he's also called the son of perdition. We know that. John 17:12. I mean, we know who it's being referenced to here. You'd have to be blind ignorant not to say that. It's being referenced to Judas. John 17:12. The Bible says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost and notice it doesn't say, none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. None of them is lost but the son of perdition. Okay, we know who that is, right? It's Judas. Judas is the one that was lost. And perdition means destruction. We went through that a couple weeks back. It means destruction. It looks to be a future place as well. Where somebody, someone, some man, woman, child, or something, when I say thing, I mean angels and devils, where they go, where they are destroyed forever. Okay, look if you would in Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Verse 11. Yeah, and then we'll go on to 2 Peter as well. So Revelation 17, 11. The Bible says, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and of the seventh, and goeth into perdition." Okay? So it looks like it's a place, and it looks like what happens there is destruction. If you'll go with me to 2 Peter 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 7. The Bible says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Okay? There's more than one there. Perdition of ungodly men. And so this perdition, it appears to be destruction here, but in Revelation, it's a place. It's a place, it looks like. And it's, if you put the two together, it's a place where somebody's destroyed. Okay? So 1 Peter shows us that there can be more than one man that can go into perdition or be part of that destruction. Okay? Be part of that perdition. And not only that, but there can be more than one son of perdition. Could be more than one son of perdition, folks. I mean, if you've got more than one person going into perdition, you can have more than one son of perdition. Okay? And I'm just going to throw that out there. You don't have to believe that. I mean, I can't back that up with any scripture there, except that there's more than one person being in perdition. Perdition of ungodly men. That's plural. And we know that Judas is called a son of perdition. He's called a son of perdition. And go with me, if you would, to 1 John. There can be more than one Antichrist. More than one. 1 John 2. A couple pages over. 1 John 2, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist," that's singular, "shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Many. And I'm going to suggest there's many sons of perdition. I'm just going to say that. There's many of them. And just because you say son of perdition doesn't mean there's only one. You could be I could be the son of my father. My brother could be the son of my father. My other brother could be the son of my father. You kind of see where I'm going with that? And so, again, look in verse 22. Here's 1 John 2:22. The Bible says, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Folks, the last time I looked, many are going into destruction. There's going to be many that are going to be denying Jesus Christ, that he's come. there's going to be many that don't believe that. Therefore, there's many antichrists. But which one is going to go sit in the temple and exalt himself above God? We don't know who that is, and we're never going to know who that is until that time comes. Okay, but it could be anybody that's unsaved, and we don't know. Because there's many antichrists. We just don't know which one's going to be in the temple. All right? Okay, so again, go with me if you would to 1 John 4:3. 1 John 4:3. The Bible says, "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist." Now watch this. Every spirit is that spirit. So it goes from plural to singular. Is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come, and even now already is it in the world. It's there. It's here. It's everywhere. Okay? And so when you're dealing with with a son of perdition, you are dealing with a man that is on his way to hell who has chosen not the Spirit of the Lord through Jesus Christ. He hasn't chosen chosen Jesus Christ, but has rejected that Spirit by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And Judas rejected Jesus Christ. You know that. You know that. Because if he had received him, he would have never betrayed him. He would have never betrayed him. And so Judas, he's rejected. And so the truth found in the Bible here is that there's more than one spirit that will not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And they are all of Antichrist. 2 John 1:7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And an antichrist. Okay? Who are these deceivers that have entered into the world? Are they human beings? Are they men, women? I'm not saying some kind of alien here. I'm saying men and women. All right? We can define any word we want. That's the word I define. Human being is a man or a woman or a child, okay? So look, if you would, in 2 Chronicles. Here's the deceivers, folks. 2 Chronicles. Here's the deceivers. 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. I have to sometimes say that out loud. 2 Chronicles 18. Here's the Lord wanting to deceive somebody. Verses 17. I'm in 1 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 18, verse 17. The Bible says, "And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, Did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Again, he said, Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on the right hand and on the left." Now think about this, folks. Who was Jesus going to have on his right hand and on his left hand when he comes back? Who's he going to separate? The sheep from the goats. Okay? So here's the host of heaven. In heaven, left and the right hand of Jesus. And the Bible says here, verses 19, the Lord said, "Who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake, saying, After this manner, another after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, Thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and even do so. And even do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets." Who's a deceiver, folks? That have gone into the world. These are the spirits. These are angels. These are angels. And you know, we can go and see who Apollyon is in Revelation. It's in Revelation now. He's the angel of the bottomless pit. He's the angel of the bottomless pit. And we'll get into this here a little bit. And we've gone through it before about angels are ministering spirits, right? We know that. But there's something else here. There's something else here. Satan, folks, there's more than one Satan. I don't know if any of you have heard that, but there's more than one Satan. Where am I going to find that? You guys probably think I'm crazy by now. But if you would, go with me to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Here's an account where you have the unpardonable sin going on here. And you've got the religious leaders, the Pharisees. They're talking to Jesus. Revelation, or Matthew 12, 24. The Bible says, we'll start in verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. Devils. Now watch what Jesus says. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, what's he referring to? Beelzebub casting out devils. So there's can be more than one Satan in the Bible, folks. And we're going to get to this here in a second. I'm going to bring this together here, but this Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Look, if you would, in John 6:67. Is that the one that I'm looking for? I don't know yet. I can't remember where it's at here. That's not it. Maybe it's John 12. At it earlier. Is it John 6? Oh. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry, it is. Then said Jesus unto the 12, John 6:67, will ye go away also? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and ensure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where in the Bible have you ever heard Judas say that? Peter is speaking. He's the spokesperson for them all. But folks, you can't rely on mommy and daddy to say, we're all saved here. Right? You can't. Nowhere in the Bible does Judas ever confess that. That I read. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. But notice, he says, and one of you is a devil? Question mark. Nobody ever answers him. Nobody ever answers him. But if you read the very next verse, it says, for he it was that should betray him. Why is he saying this? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him. It's in the future. Okay? Now, go with me, if you would, to Luke 22:3. And let's see what's there. I don't even know what's there anymore. I'm all over the place. Luke 22:3. Now watch what happens. Is this the devil that is entering Judas? Or is this Satan that is entering Judas? And we know what the definition of Satan is by Jesus Christ himself. It could be the devil, but it also could be a devil. Right? He says, one of you is a devil. He never said one of you is the devil. The Bible says, and he went his way, then entered Satan, verse 3, into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of 12. When did this devil enter into him? When did Satan enter into him? He entered in him after he was rebuked by the Lord for what was he doing to the woman? Giving her a hard time about what she did for Jesus. And we'll go ahead and stop there, but folks, there's a point in time where Judas became a devil. We know he was the son of Simon. All right? Jesus asks a question to his disciples. Is one of you a devil? Question mark. Right? And nobody answers him. And then it goes on to say, and this he spake of the one who should be Judas Iscariot, the one who should betray him. Future tense. We know that that Satan comes into him after a certain point in time. Okay? We'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we thank you, Lord, that we just have them to go and search out and learn things, and sometimes new things, and sometimes we don't want to know certain things, but they're there for us if we want to learn them, and we pray that we would, and we pray that we'd keep our hearts and our eyes and our ears open to them. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.